Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with a community of poets, of spoken word artists from around the globe. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the September 28th, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting here across from my co-host, the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
Doing really well. Did you have a good birthday?
I did.
Okay, great. Great. Yeah.
And nice and at school.
Right, you spent it at school. And then, but then you did get to go out with Christine and
I
do
did.
Some stuff.
Okay. Yeah, good. I did.
Very good. And, he and I talked about this. This isn't, you know, we're faking some of this conversation because we've already had this before. Of course, I'm not a jerk who didn't ask. But at the same time, you know, it's something that happens when you do a show this frequently that you you start to kind of seep into each other's lives. And I think we see that with the poets in the community, in the chat room as well, people connecting and staying connected throughout the week. I definitely feel that way. And I really enjoy that kind of community that comes up. I'm really interested to see how this next month is going to play out in October.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm going to reverse the order here real quick, if that's okay.
That's fine. You do whatever order you want. Right, I just right. put it up there for
thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. So that just kind of leads me into what's happening. It's been mentioned in the chat room already. On this next Wednesday, we're doing something a little different. We're going to be doing a show at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Wednesday evening and another show a week from today at the normal time.
Yes.
And we're continuing on Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Fridays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, as they've always been. And we're going to do that through the month of October. We're testing Wednesdays to see how Wednesdays work for people and the earlier hour. And that means we're going from four shows to nine shows. That's a lot of shows.
That's a lot of shows.
So that'll affect some things. That means I'll be bringing my guitar basically every night that we do the show. That might be a thing that needs to happen as well. So we hope you'll join us. And if Wednesday nights seem to work better for you earlier, let us know. If Friday nights work better for you, let us know. We're just trying to kind of gauge. Because we were jokingly saying, you know, if we wanted people to not be calling into the show or not a lot of people to call into the show, we could do several things to make sure that would happen. One, we'd put it on a Friday night. And two, we'd put it at probably 8 p.m. And, you know, I mean, there's all these stats that kind of say, well, we kind of the reason we took that show was because it was the time that was available at the radio station.
Right.
And we're not in that position now. I mean, we can do what we want to do. So, so we hope you'll join us and help us kind of run this experiment and see what works the best. All right. Two more things we got. And JT has this really awesome list of things for me to talk about so I don't forget, because I would always forget. And I really do appreciate that. The next thing, we have our 2019 anthology. We're accepting submissions through the end of October 31st. That means if you want to support the show, you can do so through poetry. You can submit, I think, up to 10 poems. If you submit more than that, we might just choose the best 10, quote, best 10, and use those. But what this is something we put out a book before Christmas each year. The anthology comes out, and proceeds from that go directly to pay the bills of the show for the next year. So if you want to submit, you can, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and just indicate that it's a submission for the anthology. That's the best way to do so. And you don't have to be a regular weekly caller to submit. I've gotten that question a few times. It can be a poet that you know that you think would really benefit from being in the anthology or would love being a part of it. We also have found that sometimes someone has submitted something, been in the anthology, and then decided to drift on in and start becoming a regular caller to the show. So it's a good way to bring people into the community as well. And then thirdly, which is still kind of important.
Yes.
We have an album coming out.
Yes, we do.
Right. It's like it's, we've got the band's got another album coming out. It's been a few years. So on the 25th of October, Tales from the Shining Sea, which is an all-new collection of Edgar Allan Poe readings with original music by yours truly, produced by myself and JT, is going to be coming out. We'll make sure that there's a download link for anybody, you know, on, who wants to do it, listen to it on the website. But it'll also be on, you know, Apple Music and iTunes and Spotify, and it'll be on all the streaming platforms as well on the 25th. So we're really looking forward to having that come out. I think it'll be really exciting. We'll be debuting some singles from it. You'll be able to kind of hear things ahead of time over the next month. Pretty exciting stuff. All right. So those are our three things. Now, I'm going to do something before. Should I do this before or after the rules? The next part. The thing in green here on the list.
Before the rules.
Okay. So I'll just do it right now.
We could possibly do it after the
break. I'll do it a few times, too. Okay. So. All right. What I was referring to was he had on the list that I needed to reveal the identity of this month's Poet of the Month. Oh, yes. And I'll quickly give the clues one more time here. From week one, the clues were Pilgrim Beyond the Shore, 2, Apple followed by France, 3, More Than One Voice in the Night. Then the clues from week two were Dante's Translation, The Comedy Divine, which I think was a dead giveaway. Number 2, Night Passing. And 3, The Beard That Grew from Fire. Our poet for this month, see how I did that? Our poet
well
for this month is none other than Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was an American poet and educator whose works include Paul Revere's Ride, The Song of Hiawatha, and Evangeline. He was also the first American to translate Dante's Divine Comedy and was one of the fireside poets from New England. He's a fascinating man. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is this month's Poet of the Month. And I will say, two people got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say who got it, okay? Is that fair?
That's fair.
One got it hours ahead of the other person. So the first person who got it was George. The second person who got it was Dennis. By the time stamps of when they sent the message in, that's how I know the hours difference. That means because we have so many shows this next month, I anticipate doing more than one Studio X.
Yeah.
Let's have them both choose. I'll let George's choice go first and then Dennis's choice go second over the course of the month, and I'll let you know when we're going to do it. We still have to kind of feel out how we're going to plan this whole thing, but we'll just go with it that way. All right, now we're going to head into our rules here very quickly. Rule number 1, no hate speech. We don't have it on the show. We never have. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 with the work. We have people, you know, families, we have younger people who listen. We want to make sure that this is a friendly place for them. However, we're not in the business of censoring people. So if it's artistic and it's got a really, you know, kind of a unique flow to it, we'll let it go. However, if it gets gratuitous and it's just a little too much, we might recommend that you read it during our After Dark segment, which happens the first Friday of every month. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. Rule number four, please keep it no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Those are both just respect rules for everybody. And the last one is for JT and myself. We love your comments. We love your suggestions. That's a big piece of the show. However, it's hard for us to kind of keep track when they're just mentioned on the air because we're always moving so fast and doing a lot of different things here. So if you have suggestions, we want them. Send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on our webpage. And that's the best way to get it. And that way we'll actually take a look. All right, now it's time for the first segment. So we need 5 unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
So I was practicing karate kicks the other day, and I hadn't done this in a while.
Okay.
I was surprised because I've been doing a lot of yoga and, you know, all that stuff recently.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's what people do when they don't have to go into that office every day. They're just like, oh, I have hours to spend on self-care or whatever. Although I still do it before I would have gone to school anyway, but whatever. And the thing that's interesting is I almost kicked myself in the face. And more like a shin kick to the face because obviously the foot won't actually hit, right? A human body's not designed where you can actually, with your foot, kick yourself in the face. But literally could do this. And right after I considered my career possibilities as a Vegas showgirl,
yeah,
I realized that I'd also, in that exact same moment, ripped my pants. So this was I thought that right there was a really good metaphor for getting older and attempting feats of strength. And thankfully the only thing that tore were pants. I don't even know why I felt like leading off with that, but I really did.
It's really interesting.
It's setting a context, JT.
Setting
a context, yes.
Okay.
Now just for the people who weren't listening, just weren't able to join us yet, our poet of the month is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And once again, it's Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It sounds like I'm speaking in code. The condor has landed and eaten the bag of chips.
Hickory dickory dock.
A mouse crawled inside of the clock and died. All right, let's go to our first caller. Let's go to Michigan. This is not code. Let's go speak to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine. It's Friday night, and I'm on the air.
You know what? We're happy about that, too. We're happy to be here. We're a little we're not really sure what to think is going to happen with this whole next month. It's going to be an interesting little experiment or adventure anyway.
Well, I won't cast a vote for either day yet, but I'll definitely give it a try both days.
Well, I appreciate your opinion is one of the ones that we really, really value and need to get over this. So we appreciate you at least considering it and then kind of getting a feel for it and seeing what you think.
All right. I give it a shot for sure. And
sounds
thanks
good.
Again for opening that door and trying something new. You guys are all right. You just keep coming up with good stuff after good stuff after good stuff.
Well, thank you.
It's all good with you guys.
We appreciate the support. So this platform is for you, Dennis. What do you have for us? I'll step back and be quiet, and we'll talk after, okay?
All right. Sounds good. And that George scooped me again. I tried to get in to be first, but then I come up short to George. So that's okay.
Hey, you'll still get to choose a song. It'll be like you won too, you know.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to read a Henry Wadsworth Longfellow poem. The title is "The Day Is Done." The day is done and the darkness falls from the wings of night as a feather is wafted downward from an eagle in his flight. I see the lights of the village gleam through the rain and mist, and a feeling of sadness comes over me that my soul cannot resist. A feeling of sadness and longing that is not akin to pain. It resembles sorrow only as the mist resembles the rain. Come, read to me some poem, some simple, heartfelt lay that shall soothe this restless feeling and banish the thoughts of day. Not from the grand old masters, not from the bard sublime, whose distant footsteps echo through the corridors of time. For like strains of martial music, their mighty thoughts suggest life's endless toil and endeavor, and tonight I long for rest. Read from their poet, whose songs gushed from his heart, as showers from the clouds of summer or tears from the eyelids start, who through long days of labor and nights devoid of ease still heard in his soul the music of wonderful melodies. Such songs have power to quiet the restless pulse of care, and come like the benediction that follows after prayer. Then read from the treasured volume the poem of thy choice, and lend to the rhyme of the poet the beauty of thy voice. And the night shall be filled with music, and cares that infest the day shall fold their tents like the Arabs as silently steal away. End of poem, a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Great choice and a wonderful read, Dennis. I think it's interesting to think about the context of the time that Longfellow wrote within, is because, you know, that kind of poetry was a huge piece of the culture. You know, he was like a big screenwriter, you know, that the same sort of kind of thing at the time. And he was a very, very popular poet. And you did a really great job reading that.
Well, I can see why he was popular. Boy, the way he wrote, powerful, meaningful, and it was such a great tone and thoughts you can relate to. It's he's a wonderful choice for the poet of the month, and I appreciate you doing that kind of homework to come up with some very interesting writers that we once again might have overlooked or have forgotten about. He's a great choice, so thank you again for bringing him up as the poet of the month, and for the show that you have for us. And we wanted to let you know once again how much appreciated you are, and how we benefit from that. So once again, I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan kicking off our first segment of the evening. Now, it's funny, he said he was scooped by George again. Well, now we're going to have George be able to answer that, because we're going to stay in Michigan. We're just going to travel a few blocks, basically. Let's go to George. Hello, George. How are you?
Hello. I'll try not to make this too long, fellow. sorry. Sorry about that. Hey. Yeah, apparently it was a matter of an hour or less, right, that I scooped him. You know,
it was really
quickly.
Just
read those.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I sent, great. I say it's great. I mean, anyway, I can't think of a better guy to be in second place. also from Longfellow, I'm not going to read the whole of Evangeline, of course. It's a book. It's 1,500 lines, you know.
Are you listening to this, Barbara? Are you listening? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
All right. If I read it all, I would still be reading when you dial in Wednesday.
You know, you're probably right. Yeah.
So, but I want to emphasize the power of this folklore story, this Evangeline. She was the girl that Longfellow writes about Evangeline. Is actually from a folklore story in Nova Scotia. They call it the Acadians then. And the guy who told Longfellow this folklore story was Nathaniel Hawthorne. And he didn't want to write it down. He said, it's not my style. You go ahead, Henry. You write it down. And of course, Henry did, to great fame, one of his most famous poems. But Evangeline describes the betrothal of this fictional Acadian girl. He calls her Evangeline Bellefontaine to her beloved Gabriel Lajeunesse, and their separation as the British deport the Acadians from that area in what they call the Great Upheaval. The poem then follows her across the landscapes of America, and she spends years in a search for him, and sometimes being very near to this Gabriel without realizing he was near. Finally, she settles in Philadelphia and, as an old woman, works as a sister of mercy among the poor. And while tending the dying during an epidemic, she finds Gabriel among the sick, and he dies in her arms. Now, how sad is that? The little excerpt that I'm going to read from Evangeline is really his introduction, sort of. And he talks about that area. Remember, this is early 19th century Acadia area, Maine, New Hampshire, you know, the Maritimes. This is forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlocks, bearded with moss and in garments green, indistinct in the twilight. Stands the druids of eld, with voices sad and prophetic, stand like harpers hoar, with beards the rest of their bosoms. Loud from the rocky caverns, the deep voice neighboring ocean speaks, and its accents disconsolate answers the wall of the forest. This is the forest primeval, but where are the hearts that beneath it leap like a roe when he hears in the woodlands the voice of the huntsman? Where is the thatch roof village and the home of Acadian farmers, men whose lives glided on the rivers that water the woodlands, darkened by the shadow of earth but reflecting an image of heaven? Waste are those peasant farms, and the farmers forever departed, scattered like dust and leaves when the mighty blasts of October seize them and whirl them aloft and sprinkle them far over the ocean. Naught but tradition remains in the beautiful village of Grand Pre. Ye who believe in affection that hopes and endures and is patient, ye who believe in the beauty and strength of a woman's devotion, list to the mournful tradition still sung by the pines in the forest, list of the tale of love in Acadia, home of the happy. That's just an intro to his song. Like you said earlier, Longfellow's like, you know, the superstar of poetry. And he hung out, you know, the fact that he hung out with guys like Hawthorne and Lowell and Coswell, I should say, is he made a bunch of money. I think you mentioned that, Michael, and as a poet, hey, it can happen. What was even really cool, I think, is he bought a house in Cambridge that George Washington had lived in during the siege of Boston. And he lived there the rest of his life. I mean, how good would my poems be if I lived there? But I have one other observation about these poets. They collaborated. They told stories to each other. They offered criticism. They networked. They formed a club called the Dante Club. And bits of each of their genius rubbed off on the others. And I'm not saying the WPOM is equal to the Dante Club, but we need to listen to each other and grab that low-hanging fruit. Some of you are already collaborating, and we've been already calling ourselves a family. Just a thought. Thank you.
George, I completely resonate with what you're saying about that. I think there's this thing I've mentioned a few times, which is the idea Brian Eno, the musician, used the word senius. He said he didn't believe in an individual genius, but that groups of people kind of gave rise to a situation where someone could step forward and create a type of work. So it's more of the group of people kind of create those conditions. And it seemed like that was at work there, you know, where the general total is more than the sum of the parts. And I feel like there is something to be said for that. And so whether it's, you know, we don't need to compare WPOM to the Dante's Club, but it's in its own respect, it does have that kind of atmosphere. And I think that's a really great point.
Well, I'm glad to make it, and I'm glad to be part of it.
We're happy you're part of it as well. Now, one thing, because I know that you love history, right? We've talked about history a lot.
Right.
So is it true? Do you know much about this, the ballad of, or Paul Revere's Ride? So the thing he's almost most well-known for. I remember hearing that
Ride of Paul Revere.
Yeah, but well, I'm looking at it's called Paul Revere's
Ride. Oh, I'm
sorry,
different one.
Sorry. Yeah, this is the poem by one. Now the thing is that I heard that he used Paul Revere because Paul Revere's name rhymed better than the guy who actually made the ride, which was named Israel Bissell. Do you know anything about that?
I did read about that when I was teaching American history, and as I didn't make a real close focus on it, but what I do remember was that they both made the ride. Paul Revere just didn't. Paul Revere, I don't think he went all the way from North Church out to, and he wasn't alone. This other guy did it too. So I think what Longfellow did was take sort of a combination of Paul Revere truly was a very notable person in Boston at that time.
Sure, yeah.
And it was a silversmith, I think it was. And he figures throughout the revolutionary period, he figures all through the revolution. In fact, sometimes they have to hold the guy down. He was a bit of a jerk.
Okay.
But hey, if he's gonna save us from the British coming, then he can be a jerk.
You know, hey, that's fair. Yeah. As long as you want the loud belligerent guy when he needs to spread a message in the middle of the night. You don't want the soft.
Yeah, you wouldn't want a little.
Excuse me.
You wouldn't want a little nerdy John Adams riding on a horse, and going to hear him. But so that is, I can't verify that. That all of that is either not true or true. I do know that what I read at that time did say that Paul Revere did part of the ride, and the other guy did.
That sounds pretty much in line.
Maybe
with
that's not
heard.
The truth yet, but that's what I recall.
Okay, well, fair enough. I appreciate that, sir. Thank you so much. I figured we'd ask our resident history professor here. So
I could look it up, and report. Do a report. PowerPoint. You want PowerPoint report?
no need for that, my friend. No need for that. I'm enjoying. By the way, very quickly.
I don't know how to talk about a PowerPoint.
Well, I figure what very quickly, and I know we got to let you go because I want to keep moving here. But I will be. I saw that Dennis left a great review for you for your new poetry book on Amazon.
Yes,
I received the book, so nice. and I've read some, and I loved it so much. I actually took it over. Was reading some of it to my mother as well, and she absolutely loved it. She actually asked to keep the book so she could read it more. So she's,
oh my goodness,
and,
what an honor.
It really is. I mean, she's a very much a literate person. So I'll be leaving a review, and I have a feeling she will be separately. So.
Wonderful. All the reviews I can get, of course.
Understood, for sure. And thank you so much for that. And It really is a beautiful book. If you haven't gotten one, I definitely recommend to anybody listening. It's worthwhile.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's what a great plug.
You've got it,
so
sir.
The check's in the mail.
All right. Hey, that's okay. Take that off, JT. We're paying the bills this month. All right. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. And that was George calling from Michigan, the number two spot. I'm sorry I made that take so long, JT. That was all me. That was not George. All right. But I figured, hey, there's an educational piece there. We're learning about Israel Bissell. This is an important thing.
300 miles.
Yeah, I was looking at the timeline.
He rode 300 miles. That poor horse.
Insane. All over Connecticut, which we'll be visiting later.
Yes.
And I actually learned something about why it's called the Nutmeg State, but I will unveil that. Ooh. Right before we go and visit with Barbara. And by the way, Barbara, I don't really think that was that low. I was just kidding. It's a joke. I made a joke about Germany, and I got physical threats sent to me yesterday. Hilarious. Okay, anyway. And by the way, I'm fine with Germany, just for the record.
Yeah.
I enjoy many things from Germany, including Beethoven. Let's go now to Kentucky, a place I'm not so sure about. No, I'm kidding. Let's go to Kentucky. Let's talk with Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hello, fellows.
How are you, sir?
I am, I have, like, maybe, I don't know if this is an anecdote, but, like, a little, what I consider a minor victory. I'm at the local Kroger. Kroger's our grocery store here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Reading a passage out of the New York Times, not that I'm being all Mr. Elitist and stuff, but that's what I do when I'm kind of waiting for the checkout line to get done. Find this new book that's called Ducks, Newburyport. It's by an author named Lucy Elman. It looks fascinating. So I go from the article to the next day to the library and put in a request, and now I'm third on the waiting list for the book to come into my hands by the kindnesses and auspices of our local library branches. So things like that just make me happy.
That looks good. I just pulled it
That's
up.
Great.
I absolutely. By the way, one of the things I have a problem with, JT, I looked at Audible, you know, the audiobook thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked at how many books I have.
Yeah.
Okay. I have 423 audiobooks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's a lot of audiobooks.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And that's a problem. But also I realize the reason I have most of them is that they have the daily deal thing where it's like $3 for an audiobook or whatever. So I'll buy them for a price of a cup of coffee, right? Which I think is actually a better price than a cup of coffee. It's a better thing to be buying. But the thing is the reason I like it is that it takes me on these strange little journeys, right?
So like recommendations.
Exactly. Yep. Well, now I just suddenly listened to a 20-hour book on like the economics of South Africa, but now it's like I understand this totally different context as to what's going on. And I love it, but it's nuts. And why do I do that? But I totally do the exact same thing, Philip. Although you're well, smarter, you go to the library.
I'm slightly maybe more impoverished than you, but either way, we certainly have a shared love of books and literature and bearded guys that know all about techno stuff, Star Wars, and yachts, no less.
Yes, very fancy.
Go vacationing on a yacht. That's what I'm doing. This.
I print out pages from the Rob Report and make my own clothing with them.
Very, very good. You guys make me smile. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for allowing a beast like myself back onto your program. It's very kind of you. And cheers, kudos to both George and Dennis on the Poet of the Month. Yeah, very well done. And the irony that I think sometimes I listen to Longfellow's, his translation of the Divine Comedy on YouTube.
Oh,
They have a LibriVox. I don't know if you've ever encountered LibriVox. Yeah, I do too. And some of those guys really are spot on, you know. But anyway, I blather, I tarry, I get all distracted. See what you guys do. You froth me up, and then I lose my head, I tell you. I will get to it. Here's my title. This is the one I posted most recently. I posted this one today. The title, one of those long ones. Embellished from a recollection when I slept uneasily at St. Joseph Hospital, 12 years old, broken femur, suspended in traction. And here we go. Eyes eventually forget themselves. Nameless gaze pours from a vessel emptied of voices. A stranger's hands without possessives, theirs or mine. No distinguishing left from right. Every arrival, an aimless one, unintentional as spontaneous laughter. Time perpetually now. Desires permanently quelled. Crawl across rain-drenched, gray-fog cattle pastures on all calloused fours, chewing belly-warm cud and tall onion grasses. Bereft of identity, lost in a sylvan thicket where King Lear braids wildflowers with leaves brown and brittle into crowns for the wanderlust anonymous. Nameless acolytes who neither stay or wait, but ruminate words become sounds without meaning. And there it is, fellers.
Oh, there.
Philip, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. That does. It does really, it means a lot. And, you know, I tell you, any minor successes or improvements have come a lot from this show. Getting yourself prepared each week to try to read. I know I've missed some this year, but, you know, it's a really good way to hone your skill set. And I really appreciate that. It's a really pleasing forum. I can't brag on you guys enough, you know? That's why I return as often as I do. I've tried the others, and they're just not as good as what you guys offer, okay?
Well, thank you,
I'm so happy to hear that.
I appreciate that. And, you know, you saw that we're doing the shows on Wednesdays and Fridays, too. So, I mean, we don't expect a lot of traffic on the Wednesday nights, but we're just trying it out. And if you're available, you know, we always love to, any of you listening, but Philip, you as well.
Yeah, I am. I'm already got it marked down on my calendar, to be honest with you. And I think
fantastic.
Wednesdays are really good for me. So, I'm looking forward to it. And, I'm excited.
Beautiful, beautiful. We're looking forward to talking to you in just a few days then, Philip.
Be well. Thank you so much. Cheers.
You too, sir. Cheers. And that was Philip Collin from Kentucky, the number 3 spot here in our first segment. It's been a great night so far. All right.
I can't type.
You know the thing I got to say, and I appreciate it. So JT keeps the times of all the calls, so I can see the trends, and it's usually me. It's not the poets. We can see the trends of how long I'm taking, and sometimes I take way too long with certain callers. JT has printed this out and been like, Michael, look at this. But the thing I love is that you know me well enough. Not only do you have a second marker, not only do you have a minute marker, but you have an hour marker as well.
Absolutely. Just in case.
Yeah, it's better to have it than not have it.
That's right.
All right, let's head to upstate New York. Let's go visit with a great friend of the show, Zach. He's back on the show tonight. Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Hey, guys, fellow wordsmiths. It's good to be back. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing really, really well. Happy to hear your voice. We know you were supporting a friend last time, right? You were last week. You were off support. Was it a band? Is that right?
Yeah, it was. It was my first time being to an actual concert. I know it's kind of crazy, but that was the first time I'd actually gone to a concert, and I couldn't understand. I'm hard of hearing as it is, so I couldn't understand a word they were singing. But I mean, you know. Apparently, it's all about the vibe, and it was really cool to see how everyone was supporting and jamming and everything.
You know, live music's such a funny thing, Zach. I got to be honest with you. For someone who plays music as much as I do, I don't really go to concerts. I don't really do it, and it's because for me, and I know it sounds funny. I will occasionally go to support friends and things, obviously, but the experience of music for me is in its most pure form when I can play it in a quiet room, or I can play it sitting on my own, and I can really participate in the music itself. All of the external stimulation is removed, and for me that's where it's most true. Some people love concerts, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them, but I think I'm one of those people who kind of tend to stay away from them. I don't really remember the last concert I went to, JT. I can't
well,
even
didn't you
place
you guys
it.
Went to Weird Al?
We went to Weird Al. And, oh, I went to Gary Clark Jr. after that. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the last ones I've been to. I mean, concerts. Of course, I've played
right
a lot of music since then, but going and watching is always kind of difficult. So I can completely appreciate it. But I'm glad you got to go and you got to have an experience and kind of see what it was. That's cool.
Yeah. It was definitely an experience, and you know, it's a part of the city that, you know, I live in Livonia, so you know, going to Rochester, it's a little bit different because Livonia is all country and Rochester is all city and bustle and hustle. So it's definitely a different lifestyle.
Oh yeah, I would absolutely imagine it would be. So, what do you have for us?
This poem, you know, the when you did the Studio X, we talked about how you did a rendition of Let the Old Ways Die, and
yeah.
For some reason the word these days popped in my head, and so it was inspired by Let the Old Ways Die, and you know, it's talking about what life is like these days, and you know, so I guess I'll get right into it. These days, the years come slow and go by so fast. These days, it's hard to make memories and even harder to make them last. These days, we're afraid of ourselves as much as we are of strangers. These days, we see everything as a danger. These days, we're getting farther apart, even though we're starving for connection. But the isolation is a great opportunity for self-reflection. Unfortunately, we look at the clock and think we have to rush. These days, we don't take enough time to appreciate the power of a kiss, hug, or touch. These days, words have more power than ever, so please take the time to think about what you say. It may change how people think of you for the rest of your days. End poem.
You know, I think that was really a good. It's not the same, but it's a great companion piece to that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's such a great song, and you know, for some reason, he talks about, you know, letting the old ways die, and for some reason that made me think about what we're doing these days. Maybe it's the time to let the way we live these days change.
You know, there's really it's such an interesting time, and I actually had sent George a song a while back. JT and I were talking about Bruce Springsteen earlier before the show started, and who just turned 70 years old recently, and we. I was talking about the song, well, I don't think I mentioned it to you, actually, JT, the song Western Stars off his new album. Mm. And he has this line where he says, the Western Stars are shining bright again. And the way I look at it, and this is probably just my own interpretation, but back, you know, my father's generation, one of the big things that they always looked at, you know, they had those Westerns and, you know, there was Roy Rogers and there was, you know, all these kind of cowboy matinee idols who would go, you know, fight for the common man, and they'd be the one who'd take on the challenges of the big, scary, you know, people who are trying to muscle everything around. And I think that while, you know, of course the cultural time for that has passed, I think the values of someone who's willing to stand up for others, who's willing to stand up for truth and for fairness and all of that, that's a value that we shouldn't pass up. We shouldn't, you know, relegate to history, right? I think that I want to put too fine of a point on it. I want cowboys to be out there willing to punch, punch the bad guys. You know what I mean? And I want us to all maybe not physical violence necessarily, but I think some of the old ways are okay. Some of the old ways need to go. But I think the thing is, the best way to move forward is always taking the best of what's come before and take that with us into the future. And I think your poem kind of made me start thinking about this and made me kind of start, you know, letting this resonate in my head. So I'm kind of just going free form now, but that's what you made me think about anyway.
Well, I'm glad I could make you think. You know, that's part of why we do, at least why I do poetry, is to make people think of a different perspective, like that last poem that I shared with you, the one with the conversation between two people.
Are you going to share that one later this evening?
Yeah, if you think that it's appropriate.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's very fair.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Zach, we appreciate you, my friend, and we will talk to you during the return.
All right, sounds good. Hey, are you going to be doing any more of the Rite of Song?
You know, so I'm not sure about that. So for people, very quickly on the show, I did I'd done the Michael Abadie show for a long time, and at episode 501, changed it to doing one weekly, and I'm not sure how sustainable that is. I don't know what the traction is. But Zach, if you think I should do more, I mean, I'm not even against doing occasional episodes. I know that if I do it, I probably won't do it. I won't record them on Sunday mornings the way, because I recently started directing music on Sunday mornings. However, that doesn't mean I couldn't do it ahead of time. So I don't know. If you have some thoughts, let me know, okay? And if any of you who've been listening liked that better than the other stuff, I can completely understand. So I'd love feedback.
Good. I will talk to you during the return engagement.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach Collin from New York, small town outside of Rochester, New York. Oh, actually, a little ways away from Rochester. I looked it up on Google Maps while he was talking, by the way. I'm not being creepy, Zach. I'm just trying to get context. What some people call stalker, I call gathering context. So that's where their bedroom is.
Right.
That's the time they come in.
That's the time they come in. That's the time they run on the treadmill.
Yes. That's the time they cook dinner. That's the kind of food they eat.
That's the kind of food they eat.
This is what their trash looks like.
Right.
It's just context.
Right. That's the shirt they wear on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I'm not creepy, JT.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
All right. So really quickly, and if you want to click into this, you definitely can. So the reason the next state that we're going to, Connecticut, who sounds like she needs to call back in, because Barbara, if you're listening, we can't hear you. We're getting that weird effect we get during the return engagement, so if you could call back in, that would probably be the best way. I'm not sure what's going on. Sorry about that. We don't have that with five callers, do we?
Not usually.
Yeah, this is very strange.
I'll even post it in the chat.
Okay. So, at any rate, apparently, a little bit post American Revolution, nutmeg was considered kind of a valuable substance, or a valuable kind of spice. And there's lots of places that were, you know, going around. There are lots of places that were kind of exporting it. Well, apparently in Connecticut, there were fake nutmegs being sold and being exported, which gained it the nickname the Nutmeg State.
Fake nutmeg.
Fake nutmeg. Isn't that funny?
It is. Oh, that's good.
Nice. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Hey, sorry.
That's not your fault.
You know,
I don't know what happened. It's so strange.
I don't know. It's the weirdness. My daughter and I were trying to talk today. She was coming home from Jersey, and she kept trying to call, and she couldn't call. And we couldn't get a call through, but finally she could text through her watch.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then we were trying to, I finally got a call from her. I was in the supermarket, and the phone would start ringing, and it would stop.
Well, that's how phones sound when they're ringing. You know, they do the
ring.
No,
I mean, it would start and stop and start and stop.
I understand.
It was insane. It was insane. Finally, we got out to the car and got a conversation in there, but it was crazy. She went down to Long Branch, New Jersey, for a convention. And she said, I said, you're really close to Asbury Park, you know. And she said, yeah, I thought about going, but it was 8:30 in the morning. I thought it would be kind of creepy.
You know, it might be. You know, I got to say, we have in Colorado, there's a lot of, you know, cool things that happened here, but we don't have the kind of, we don't have many things like Asbury Park here, do we,
no,
JT?
No, we could just talk about Asbury Park forever, but when I was a kid, do you want me to read the poem and then we can talk?
Yeah, let's have you read the poem, because I'm going all over the place tonight, Barbara. I'm like, let's sit back and have a chat. Everybody in a row for hours. People want to hear me talk, right? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, it's been a very, 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 very news-filled week. And because of that, I was looking on Twitter. Of course, you find these things on Twitter. On Twitter, they are painting peaches on lampposts. And they're saying peach equals impeach. So anyway, from that, I got the idea to write this poem. I don't know. It's called Peach. When you are a leader, you shouldn't overreach, though you think you're a peach, but you are really a lime. This might be the time to stop all your crime, but you have not thought that you will get caught. Just remember you will have to go, for you forgot that you reap what you sow. End poem.
Vague allegory. I have no idea what you're talking about, Barbara.
I just thought that was so cool that they're painting these peaches on lampposts.
That's so funny. I got to just be honest. I just sit back and just kind of... One thing I stopped doing, actually, Barbara, is I have stopped commenting on anything politically in public. And one of the reasons I've done that is not because I don't think it's important or that I'm not doing my own, you know, the actual stuff in the background anyway, but it's more just like, I have no desire to get caught up in that. I see it and I know what it represents to me. I do research and I take the action I need to take, right? But I got to tell you, it's so funny, the world that this whole kind of, the way the culture has moved now because of social media, and I think spurred on a lot because of the political world that we're in now. You can't say anything. I mean, I literally was threatened on three separate occasions by three different people for cracking a joke about where would we be without a sense of humor? Germany. We'd be in Germany. That's what got me threatened.
Oh.
Now, of course, I don't take it seriously.
Germany. You have to say Nazi Germany.
Well, but
you can't
say the funny
Germany
thing is,
because people are thinking that you're talking about Germany here.
Oh, of course. And, but literally, I know people who are in Germany. They're laughing about it. You know, I mean, Jerry, who's in Germany from the garden, he was laughing about it. But the best part was when I had people said, that is absolutely not true. And they start dressing me down. I'm going, you're kind of proving the point. But okay, that's it. It's just a joke, you know? And, but it's not a mean joke. I'm part German. I have, you know, it's not a,
and,
it's,
yeah,
I have a lot of affinity
for
German
daughters,
things.
I'm not, but I'm part Austrian.
Or Austrian, yeah.
Polish, so.
Yeah, so it's not a, but it's just the culture we're in. That being said, it has been mildly, not little more than mildly entertaining to kind of watch this last week unfold. And the peach thing, I didn't even know about. That's just kind of adds some resonance to it.
I just found that out tonight on Twitter. I thought that was so funny.
That's funny. That is pretty funny. Well.
And by the way.
Yes.
If you want to get more Twitter followers, I didn't even know this existed. There's something called hashtag writing community. If you're a writer.
Okay.
And you get on there, people will just follow you. I got like 20, over 20 followers just from like answering a few different things. I keep getting followers.
Well, that's cool.
And they're really nice. They're like, you know, all writers. And of course, there are some creeps, but I, you know, I don't follow them. The creeps are the ones that have the two first names, like James William.
Or Paul Revere. Wait, I mean, no.
And they're always in the army.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm noticing.
Yeah.
Okay.
If a woman follows you whose name is like Rebecca Susan or something like that.
Wait, you know Rebecca Susan? No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'll be careful. I can use all the female followers possible.
Media. I am very careful on social media about posting political poems. I only do it to my friends, and you know it's very difficult to do anything these days. Really, you just have to feel it out and see what's and sometimes people will just comment for the weirdest reasons ever. So I'm going to get off here because I guess you're going to try and do a second one. So anyway, I'll talk to you in the return.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you
then.
Okay,
take care. Bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Do you like the accent?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No, I don't.
No, Michael.
Stop
it. So weird.
All right.
Nutmegs. Still gets
Isn't that me. Interesting? That's an interesting thing. I'm full of interesting things. Paul Revere was, he did participate in the ride, but the ride that was described was actually from Israel Bissell.
Yep.
And the nutmeg, and nutmegs were often counterfeit from Connecticut in post.
Were they like what? Hazelnuts?
I don't know, man. I wasn't there.
What? Come on. Time machine. Hello. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So it's time for our second segment. The number is 720-240-9766. We need 5 more unique callers.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
I totally screwed that up. And Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here for the second segment. Of course, that was the late, great Lenny C., a fantastic poet who used to rock the mic down at Mercury Cafe.
Yeah.
On Friday nights and Sunday nights. Dennis, I saw you mention that. Yeah, you know, if we have some free Friday nights, maybe we would do something like that. I think definitely I would, if I wasn't doing this show on Friday nights for whatever reason, if we decide to go to Wednesdays, I would probably be using it to be out in the community reading, meeting more people, setting things up.
Yeah.
It definitely wouldn't be just like a night off for me. All right. We're going to be heading now, though, to someone who I'm so happy called. I love it when she calls. Let's go to Mary in Arizona.
I hit the wrong button. My apologies.
It's all right. Good. Let's try it again here.
No, we're gonna go the old
Hello,
route.
Mary.
There
How
we
are
go.
You?
Well, hello, hello. So nice to join you.
We are very happy that you are here.
Yes. On this fall evening. It's actually cool here in Arizona. Can you believe it?
How cool are we talking here?
I'm talking 70 degrees. Baby.
Oh, my
70s.
Goodness. I can't even believe it.
Like I got sweaters. I'm digging for coats already.
It's that sounds like a really nice evening, actually.
Yeah.
That's what they say. It's nice. They say it's nice here in Arizona. All I say is, fool, where are you until next summer?
Well, I'm going to throw this out. We're in Denver. We're 58 degrees. And we've got some light rain. So,
Yeah. See, we're getting rain. I don't know what the hell. I didn't come to Arizona for rain.
That's the secretive state slogan, Arizona. You don't come here for the rain.
No, you do not come here for the rain season. All right. It's nice to join in. I have a scribble. And it's called, It Takes a While to Learn How to Be Free. It does take a while to learn how to be free again, as it takes a while to get used to being caged. They both take a while to the soul.
the one long lost and forgotten but to themselves. Love that's unconditionally given will help. And beyond that, simple validation and acceptance. That finally turns my eyes to see hope again, not just veiled in fog and webs. Ones that can help me learn to love myself as surely as I've accepted the world and all that's in it, as well as the path it took me to arrive here. Sitting here at peace sometimes, for it feels as fresh as an early summer eve, just waiting with anticipation for the next turn. Embracing the chance for choices and goals and dreams again, in a body anew but not really forgotten, just dormant for a spell, long enough to gain the strength to look out again. The pyre atop the trees, still a fire, where dare still lives. Not just dreaming now, I actually often get the chance to dance and feel freedom rushing through my very pulse. That burns the cages left in the drops of my eyes. Ah, freedom. End poem.
It's really heartfelt as always, and we've been able to follow this kind of journey that you've been taking over the last, you know, few years. And
yeah, it's a saga. I've been on a journey, you guys, and you've been with me.
And we feel it. We feel it. We love it. Thank you. Thanks for including us.
Thank you for letting me join in, and I'll continue doing that.
We love you too.
See you on the return.
See you on the return.
I can't do it like you, Michael. I won't even try to say it. Like,
well, I
say it for me?
I think I did it one time, and then JT recorded it, and now we do it. All right, you mean when I go, the return engagement,
yeah.
That one?
Oh, come on, that one.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
See, Michael, how adorable you are.
I have no idea.
Then,
all right.
When you said, that's when I'll be back.
No, you got to understand, Mary, when I wake up and I go into the bathroom and I, like, you know, splash water in my face and look in the mirror, the first thing I think when I see myself is, oh, that guy again.
Oh, God, him. Where am I going to go?
Oh, man.
See someone else?
I thought he left. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
get
Mary.
Used to it, baby. It ain't going to change.
I know. It's been going on for 39 years now. I don't, if I keep expecting a change, I'm probably just being ridiculous at this point, right?
You're such a baby.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, Michael.
All right. Goodbye. We'll talk to you in the return.
Sounds good.
All right. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. Now, JT.
Hang on just a moment.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Yes, Michael.
I'm going to do something spurious and different. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're going to go right to... the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. That means anybody who wants to call in and share another piece can. Anybody who wants to call in for the first time and share it, you can as well. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Oh, snap. And we're back. So you've had some really interesting music choices. So the first... No, I like the music tonight. So the first segment, do you have it down? I don't mean to put you on the spot here, brother.
No, it's okay.
What did you play for the pre-show?
Pre-show?
Yeah.
I played Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
And it's called Seven Lions and Mayon and Shane 54, which was that song Strangers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they're kind of a trance techno kind of
group. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then The Killers.
Okay, with Human.
Yep.
Right.
And then Muse.
Okay.
Okay. First segment, Billy Idol.
Uh-huh.
Second segment, Queen. And then the return was The Police.
The Police. Did I tell you my parents are flying out to see Billy Idol in Las Vegas this next month?
Dude, that's awesome.
Isn't that hilarious? I instructed my father on how to find leather pants. I don't think he's going to do it.
Good, because it would be hilarious if he actually, you know,
I told him, why not do it? You're going to Vegas to see Billy Idol. Billy Idol's hilarious. He's awesome. Why would you not do that? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe self-respect.
Maybe. Maybe.
But his sons obviously have no problem with this. all right. So we've got some, we got five great callers lined up here for the return. It's funny to watch. I'm going to throw this out. It is funny to watch the pattern of calls and how they mirror each other.
Yeah.
It is really fascinating how, and it changes week to week.
Yeah.
But there's a pattern that'll establish itself in the first, second segment, and then you'll see it repeat pretty closely like it did. And it's totally natural and just like it did this time. So we're going to go to our first caller. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
we're happy you are.
An interesting show tonight.
It has been an interesting show. I definitely enjoy it. One of the things I was telling JT kind of as I was coming in, it doesn't matter how crazy the week is. When we get here, we get on the air, we start connecting with everyone, everything feels right. Even if it's if it's an interesting show, it still feels right with the world, you know?
Every show has its own little character, and everyone is interesting. So I haven't really heard a bad show. So it's all good. It's all good.
I think I have, but they've only been my fault. So
No way. No way. We aren't gonna let you take that. No way. If we can't blame somebody, let's blame George.
Hey, there we go. All right, fine. We'll let him answer that later.
Yeah.
So what do you have for us, sir?
All right. I got another Henry Wadsworth Longfellow poem, and I think this might be familiar to most, but here goes. The Arrow and the Song. I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. For so swiftly it flew, the sight could not follow it in its flight. I breathed a song into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. For who has sight so keen and strong that it can follow the flight of song? Long, long afterward, in an oak, I found the arrow still unbroke. And the song, from beginning to end, I found it again in the heart of a friend. End of poem. A poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Another cool choice. He's got a lot of great stuff to pull from, though, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that we're running out of weeks in this month, so I thought I'd better read these two.
Well, I appreciate that. And by the way, you know, no one's saying you couldn't read some more Longfellow next month if you'd like. We're going to have plenty of time, Dennis. Trust me.
Well, I actually have a couple poems written by one of my wrong guesses that I thought it might be.
Oh, really?
That I looked up. So
that's a good.
I'll surprise you with some of my mistaken POMs.
All right. Well, that'll be perfect then.
All right. Well, thanks again for all you do. You really make my Friday night special, and I appreciate it. I'm gonna step aside and let the next poet step up the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. We're going to travel a few blocks over. Like I said, history repeats itself in a strange way. Not in a macro, really. History doesn't actually repeat itself. If you really look at it historically, I used to say that until I started actually reading history more and more in depth. I don't even know if it rhymes technically, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's talk to a guy who would know, though. Let's go to George in Michigan. Hello, sir. Welcome back.
Hello, hello. By the way, Dennis is a little bit more than a few blocks. He's more like, he's probably more like 15 miles, maybe.
15 miles. All right, fine. Okay, I'll say a few miles.
He's in a different even in a different county named after James Monroe.
Oh, I see.
However, I am from a county named after Matt Anthony Wayne, who you've never heard of.
You can bet I'm going to look this up.
Shall we say, he was, shall we say, a local hero during the War of 1812.
Okay, yeah.
Matt Anthony Wayne. But he was mad, and he was Anthony, and he was Wayne.
And he's got a really great wig in this portrait I just pulled up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know too much about, he was not a real prominent character, in American history, but he was sort of regionally. In those days, what they called the Northwest was Michigan, Ohio,
Well, hey, being a Brigadier General.
Yeah.
So apparently he was given the nickname Mad Anthony, became a brigadier general, and then he served as a senior officer of the Army and led the Legion of the United States.
Right. Wow. He Dennis Ott needs to write a poem about Mad Anthony Wayne. I don't know why I said that. I just did.
There you go.
Okay. This one is totally in a different direction. It's called Each Time He Fell in Love. Each time he fell in love, it was for eternity, a panoply of touching, a basket of pledges, and a bed full of promises, of staring at her fingers and glimpsing her straps. It held a sky full of assurance, a bag of permanence, overlaid by goosebumps of joy, and a hat full of indulgence. It was imperishable. Each time he had a new love, they shared the soaring glory of Bocelli, the cages of baby chickens at the hardware, creating funny life stories of strangers at the park, sharing little extravagances to stopping the car for rainbows, of finding all the truth about her and still loving her. They had no best if used by date. And each time he fell in love, there grew some mold on their cheese, a fraying of their curtains, a denouement, an ebbing of their efforts, and a paling of their sunsets. Some things weren't as tasty or funny anymore. And one day they bagged up their lives and left. And each time he fell in love, he fell from love. But he knew the next one was surely forever and a peace.
Wow. I found that to be really effective, George.
Pardon?
I found it was really an effective piece. I think it started stirring up some stuff,
Yeah, well, that's what it's meant to do.
Yeah. Well, stir up. That's a good, yeah.
It's just a different, sort of a different mood from earlier stuff tonight, but.
Yeah, no, I liked it very much.
The monitor's still working, so I didn't ruin everything. the plants didn't die, right? And Dow's plants didn't die, so I must be all right for a while. But, okay, well, I'm going to move on, but thanks for this great Friday night.
Appreciate it, sir. And you're just as much to blame for it as we are, so thank you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan, 15 miles or so away from Dennis. By the way, I'm actually really happy I just learned about Mad Anthony. He was kind of cool. He died of complications from gout, though.
Hmm.
Now, as someone who's had gout,
yeah,
it feels like you're going to die. Of course, I know medicine was very different in 1796 when he passed away. That sounds horrible. However, it's interesting. It says here that a legend says that his bones were lost on the way to the graveyard of the church where he was buried in Wayne, Pennsylvania. And so there's a legend that his ghost wanders the highway on January 1st, his birthday, looking for his lost bones. So, Dennis, there's a place you could start with that if you'd like. All right. Speaking of places full of ghosts and interesting spirits of the past. Let's go to upstate New York. Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. It's funny that you mentioned about ghosts and spirits of the past because Sci-Fi actually, the network Sci-Fi actually came out here to do Paranormal Witness because of there's a notoriously haunted dorm room at Geneseo Community College, which is maybe 10 miles down the road from me.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Interesting. Cool. That is cool.
And we've actually had a few MTV shows come to our little town. We've had Catfish come in the first season from MTV.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah, the first season, episode 7, is actually right down the street from where I work, maybe 1,000 yards down the street from where I work. They filmed there, and then there were like 3 or 4 more episodes of filmed in Rochester.
Yeah, you know what we should do, JT? You and I should totally set up the show Catfish and make one of us think that the other person, you know what I mean? We should just totally troll it. It would be so funny. One of us could be so upset. I can't believe that this guy was pretending to be.
I don't know. I think
we'd be on camera at the same time. They'd be like, okay, we were totally just, this is a total put up job. We're like, how could you, man?
Oof. I don't think I want that kind of publicity, though.
Okay, fine. We'll just work on our vanity underwear website.
There we go.
Soon.
That's perfect.
Zach, there was this idea at one point that I was going to do a website that had all kinds of underwear you could buy with pictures of me on the front, and it would be called whatsthongwithyou.com. And we've been recently revisiting that idea. I feel like it would be very embarrassing for my public image. However, it's always something JT can hold over my head as something he would do if I get too full of myself.
Well, hey, publicity is publicity.
Tell that to the president of the United States. No, fair enough, fair enough.
All right, so this is one that you've heard that I shared with you. It's called Let's Talk, and this one's a little different because it's actually I conceptualized it as a. It's a conversation between two people. A woman is, you know, confronting a man about his drinking, and, you know, they're trying to make each other understand and, you know, just to offer a different perspective because I believe that, I mean, I'm not a doctor or anything. You know, I've never actually seen an actual intervention, but from what I've seen on TV, it seems like it's all about making the person see how their actions have harmed people, and it seems to me like it should be about, you know, getting to the reason why they started drinking or gambling or whatever, and so it's just to offer a different perspective. So it's called Let's Talk, and it starts with the man talking to the woman. If you don't want to hear I'm sorry, then I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Even if you did, you wouldn't mean it anyway. We were great together. What did I do that was so wrong? If you don't know, if you can't see how much you've changed, maybe you're too far gone. I haven't changed. I'm the same man I was before. Yet I drank a little more. But that doesn't mean you have to walk out the door. I don't want to, but you're not giving me much of a choice. You don't listen to how much you're hurting me, no matter how much I raise my voice. You're hurting? You have no idea what I'm feeling inside. You never asked why I started drinking. You never even tried to understand. Look, you said you don't want to walk, so if you're willing to listen, I'm willing to talk, so let's talk. End of poem.
It's interesting. It was a dialogue kind of as a piece, and you sent that to me earlier, and I thought it was an effectively done piece. I would love to hear it read between two different people, too, because I think it could be played in such an interesting way.
Oh, yeah.
But I can see your film background, you know, the screenwriting background there.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting thing, because I've been working with the director that I went to school with, and, you know, we've been working on the short films. And yeah. He had a guy who he worked in a film with, and he wrote a book, and this guy wanted me to, the director told this guy that I was a good screenwriter, so he wants me to read his book and then write a script for him, a screenplay for him to turn it into a movie. So,
Fantastic.
So that is going to be a very interesting journey because, you know, I've only written the one short story for myself. So,
right.
You know, so, but hey, I mean, you know, you gotta find some way to get to continue as a writer.
Well, I think it's that, but I think also one thing that I've seen, you know, kind of seeing you sending messages and talking, you know, not as often as I'd like to, but I see that there's this momentum of some projects and energy kind of coming to you. And I applaud you for taking steps forward and kind of putting yourself progressively more and more out there and doing things that maybe you hadn't done before or hadn't done with that kind of pressure or that kind of scenario. And that's how you grow and that's how you get better. And I'm kind of going through that same sort of process on my own. Now that I'm not teaching, I'm having to engage with, you know, agents and publishers and this, you know what I mean? All these different people. And it's making me kind of go out on a limb in different ways than I'm used to. And I think it's all good, though. We're all growing forward. We're all, you know, moving into a greater future.
Well, it's funny because for me it's almost cathartic because, you know, I've always had this, you know, I've always had the horrible mental health because, you know, I was always so alone. I didn't have anyone to talk to. So I was always stuck inside my head. But now I have a chance to do things that I love, and so, you know, I'm not focused so much on myself anymore. I'm focused on, you know, being a better writer and, you know, putting work out there, and, you know, it's really cool to be able to have a chance to do that.
That's awesome. We love it. Thank you for the reading tonight, sir. And I don't know if you're available next Wednesday, but you're definitely invited to come do that show and also the following Friday. We're doing both.
Okay, yeah. Unfortunately, I work every Saturday to Wednesday, 2 to 10. So.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, so we're starting early. But if you do want to send something for us to read, we can always do that too. But that's up to you.
Okay. I will talk to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
I will probably talk to you, you know, through chat. But
sounds good to me.
All right. I will talk to you guys next week, and I will, as Dennis says, I will step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach Collin in New York, number 3 spot here in our return engagement. All right. Now, it's funny, with Mary, you never know what you're going to get. It's always great, though. And I always look forward to this. Let's go now to Mary in Arizona.
Hello, Mary. Hello.
It's always great.
How are you?
So good to join you one more time today.
It feels like it's been forever.
I feel like I'm right in the same room with you all evening. I don't know.
That's Colorado, just because JT's right outside your window. Yeah.
We're almost next door.
We are. I mean, we could drive to your place probably within how many hours would you say, JT?
10 hours.
We could get there in 10 hours.
All right, Glenn, thaw the chicken.
There you go. We could be there by we could be there before 8 a.m. if
They're
we start
coming
now.
In 10 hours.
Yeah.
All right. I got a little thing. This is something I wrote for, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Quora. I don't know what even Quora is. It's one of these things that you ask a question, somebody answers it. about anything in the whole world. Have you heard of it?
I have. Yeah, I've done some stuff on it. Yeah, it's an interesting site.
Yes. So about when I was bored a year or so ago, I started answering some questions on it because I didn't have much else going on, and so this is one that I wrote back then, and it's gotten over 11,000 views and 166 upvotes. And it's just a little poignant thing that I put together that was the answer to their question, what's the creepiest thing that your child's ever said? And it wasn't actually the question that they asked. Their actual question that they first asked was, has your child ever told you something that scared you? And I answered it a year ago now this way. I said, unfortunately, yes. My three daughters told me that they were afraid of their daddy and his wrath and his anger, although they didn't know how to voice it like that. My eldest was 8 years old when we were all cowering in the laundry room to escape him for a while. She told me, Mama, you have to divorce Daddy. It was one of the hardest facts that I had to accept as I saw the effects of his abuse, not only through my eyes now, but through their eyes as well. It took me 4 years more to leave him, but that was 15 years ago. And I'm so thankful I was able to successfully, and that my daughters are grown and thriving individuals now. P.S. My youngest will be 21 in a few days and in such a great place in her life, and that makes me so happy, and I thank you all for your good views and vibe. That's because I got all those views and poem and writing. That's it. She's 22 now.
Oh, that's great.
Love hearing that. Love hearing that. And
yeah, they're all as sassy as me, if you can imagine it. Three of them.
Good thing. Good for them.
My joy.
I think we don't need demure people. we need people who establish and have a personality and have something to say. And I love that.
There we go. Thanks for the venue. I'll listen on, and I'm always happy to join in. I'll see what Wednesdays bring.
Sounds good. We appreciate it. If you can join us, we'd love it. If not, we understand.
All right.
We'll talk
Thanks
to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
And that was Mary Conn from Arizona, her second turn at the mic this evening. All right. You know, I don't have any more facts about Connecticut.
Okay.
Except Israel Bissell made a lot of stops in Connecticut.
I'm sure he did.
He's like, the British are coming. And people are like, get out of here, Israel Bissell. You'll know we don't like you around here. And he threw a bunch of their fake nutmeg at him.
I bet.
Hey, Barbara, how's it going?
There we go. Thanks for the venue.
Oh, I don't know if she knows that I'm on the phone right now.
I'm always happy to join in. I'll see what Wednesday's.
It's like speaking into the void.
Oh, it's going to echo like crazy now.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ooh, that's a heck of a delay. Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. Oh, you called you.
It's called a delay.
Yes. You crept up on me. I was listening to Mary. And
We know. We were listening, too.
Okay. So I have a long poem by a long fellow.
Is it the 1500?
No, it's not too long. It's long enough, though. It's called The Jewish Cemetery at Newport.
Okay.
I thought it might be good for this time of year because coming up Sunday is the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. And this is the High Holy Days, starting with Rosh Hashanah and going to Yom Kippur, 10 days afterward. And so I thought it would be good to read this poem. I had to look up two words, so if you don't know what they are, I'll tell you afterward. Okay, it's called The Jewish Cemetery at Newport by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. How strange it seems, these Hebrews in their graves, close by the street of this fair seaport town, silent beside the never-silent waves, at rest in all this moving up and down. The trees are white with dust that o'er their sleep wave their broad curtains in the south wind's breath, while underneath these leafy tents they keep the long, mysterious exodus of death. And these sepulchral stones, so old and brown, that pave with level flags their burial place, seem like the tablets of the law thrown down and broken by Moses at the mountain's base. The very names recorded here are strange, of foreign accent and of different climes. Alvarez and Rivera interchange with Abraham and Jacob of old times. Blessed be God, for he created death, the mourners said, and death is rest and peace, then added in the certainty of faith, and giveth life that nevermore shall cease. Closed are the portals of their synagogue, no Psalms of David now the silence break, no rabbi reads the ancient Decalogue in the grand dialect the prophets spake. Gone are the living, but the dead remain, and not neglected, for a hand unseen, scattering its bounty like a summer rain, still keeps their graves and their remembrance green. How came they here? What burst of Christian hate, what persecution, merciless and blind, drove o'er the sea that desert desolate these Ishmaels and Hagars of mankind? They lived in narrow streets and lanes obscure, ghetto and Judenstrasse in murk and mire, taught in the school of patience to endure the life of anguish and the death of fire. All their lives long, with the unleavened bread and bitter herbs of exile and its fears, the wasting famine of the heart they fed and slaked its thirst with marrow of their tears. Anathema Maranatha was the cry that rang from town to town, from street to street. At every gate, the accursed Mordecai was mocked and jeered and spurned by Christian feet. Pride and humiliation, hand in hand, walked with them through the world wherever they went. Trampled and beaten were they as the sand, and yet unshaken as the continent. For in the background, figures vague and vast of patriarchs and of prophets rose sublime, and all the great traditions of the past they saw reflected in the coming time. And thus forever, with reverted look, the mystic volume of the world they read, spelling it backward like a Hebrew book, till life became a legend of the dead. But ah, what once has been shall be no more. The groaning earth in travail and in pain brings forth its races, but does not restore, and the dead nations never rise again. And poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Very, very nice choice, Barbara. Wasn't that long? It wasn't too bad. I think it was a beautiful piece.
And the thing is, he didn't know that Israel would become a nation at that time.
Idea. Yeah.
So that whole ending paragraph would have, that stanza would have to be, rewritten today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, that is interesting, isn't it? Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's obsolete. I mean, it's wonderful. It's really well done, well written, and so compassionate. Very few poets write like this anymore.
Well, there's a reason why he was the guy, back then.
Really, it really incredible. I didn't expect it. It was unexpected to happen upon this poem.
Well, I'm really glad you did, and I'm glad you shared it with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I'll just say Lashana Tova, which is Happy New Year. And may you have a great life. And, it's one of those times of the year for Jews that we just have so much good feeling to everyone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well,
yeah. And I'm going to go celebrate with my brother on Sunday night. So it's really like the best holiday of the year for the Jews. I mean, because it, especially, I think even better than Hanukkah, because there are no gifts. You don't have to think about gifts. It's just, bread and honey and good food and just being happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And thank you very much for the wishes there. And then we'll be around quite a bit this next month. We're doing 9 shows instead of 4.
I'm going to try and listen. Yeah. I have all of your podcasts that one day I'm just going to sit down and listen to.
You're going to listen to 500 some podcasts in a day, huh?
Well, you know, I'll try to space them out. I did not realize that I was gathering so many, but I subscribed to your podcast and haven't been able to listen. So
that's okay, Barbara. Thank you so much, though, for subscribing and setting that intention. That means a lot.
You're welcome. And I'm going to get off the phone. I guess we have another person, right?
No, we're actually end of the night here. So,
end of the night.
Yeah,
so,
you've closed it. You've closed the stage. Everyone's going, well, it can't get any better than that.
Well, you can't. I seriously think that's one of the most compassionate poems written by somebody who isn't Jewish.
Yeah.
About the Jewish experience, really.
By the way,
mm-hmm. If you didn't know what Mara was, M-A-R-A-H, it's bitterness.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, and Maranatha, that's bless the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for explaining that.
I haven't looked those two up. I didn't understand it, but anyway. Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Good night, and have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. I guess.
Talk to you then.
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye. All right. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut, ending our return engagement for the evening. So first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone for spending this evening with us. We always love having you. Now, of course, this next month, we've mentioned a bunch of times, we've been doing that on purpose. We just really want to make sure everybody remembers that starting next week, this next Wednesday, oh my gosh, it's coming up so fast. This next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we're going to be doing an episode, and we'll also be doing it a week from today at our normal time, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And we're going to be continuing that through the month of October, all the way through to October 30th. So our last show of the month, or our first show of the month, will be on the 2nd. Our last show of the month will be on the 30th. And we'll be doing Wednesdays and Fridays on those two respective times. And we're just testing out to see how it works for everybody. So we'd love to get your feedback. We will be here. We're looking forward to it. We're going to start. There's probably been a lot of different ways we try to fill the time. I'm trying to come up with ideas, and we're going to talk about that after the show here. Contingency plans. We know what we need to come up with now. We've been doing this long enough. All that aside, thank you so much for this evening. We really do appreciate the time. We appreciate your work. We appreciate your personality and the community you bring. So from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, and from Ursa, the studio dog, we love you. We appreciate you. Keep on writing. And until next time, good night.